The next pasuk over here says pasuk Zayin, Magishim al mizbechi lechem migol. You bring out my mizbech bread that is migol. What does the word migol? Migol means it's detestable. It's disgusting. Va'maratem, and you say bame ge al lucha. You say how have we displayed our detest for you? Be'emorchem, when you say Shulchan Hashem niv zehu, the table of Hashem is disgraceful. Let's see what's going on over here in the Sukkim. Let's go back to Pasuk Vav and the Mitzvah Stavit. Pasuk Vav and the Mitzvah Stavit says Bein Yichabed, page 867. Bein Yichabed, Musa of the Milo, this pasuk is referring back to what it said above. Loimar ha'oil v'chein hu shani oyev eschem mipas atzmeichem. Hashem is saying to Klal Yisrael, being that I love you because of who you are, Haloi derech habein l'chabed aviv alki aviv ahevoi. It's because his father loves him. V'derech ha'evel l'chabed es adoinav, im ki lo yachshoish kol kach alavas adoinav elav. Okay, so he's saying over here something very interesting, is that when a child loves his father, the reason why the child loves his father is because it's reciprocation. Because the child knows that his father loves him. But when an Eved loves his master, the Eved knows that it's not necessarily true that the master loves him. Okay, it's not a two-way street. This is well, here we're coming up to define the core differences between the relationship between the son and the father, and the relationship between a servant and a master. One more time, those words of Mr. David. Musa l'man l'mar hoil v'cheinu shani oyev eschem mipas atzmechem. Being that I have proven to you, Klal Yisrael, I love you because I love you who you are. Haloi derech habein l'chabed aviv al ki aviv ahevo. Therefore, when a child reciprocates and loves his father, it's because he is reciprocating. You love me, I love you. V'derech o'evet l'chabed es adav, it is the way of a servant to give on to his master. Im ki lo yach shoish kol kach alav es adonav elav. Even though he may be aware that his master does not love him. Im kol zeh, nevertheless, muchrochu l'chabdoi, he still has to give him honor. It doesn't say he'll love, but at least the servant must give honor to his master regardless, respect to his master, regardless of what his master thinks of him ki, is yifchat mimenu lebal yase boy nokam. Because if a servant does not properly respect his master, the master, it's okay, I already had coffee, it's okay. The master can go and can take revenge. The master can come along and bring upon the servant enormous harm. V'im avani, let's go further. V'im avani, v'im atem machazikim oisilav. If you Klal Yisrael, you view me as your father, aye kivodi haroi li bavur ahavasi lochem. Why have you not reciprocated? If you do not consider me to be your father, but instead you consider me to be nothing more than a master, still, nevertheless, you have to have respect for me because it's in my power to bring upon you harm. If you don't fear me, then you're in trouble. If you really fear me, you have to still show me honor because I'm your master. I have control. I'm giving you the following message. If you will respond, we are doing nothing wrong. So the Hashem responds in the next pasuk. Magishim, Ritzon Olamar, Oshav Lachem B'davar Zeh, I will reply to you, Atem Mevazine Shmi. It's not true. You are showing me disgrace. Bema, Shatem Machrivim Al Mizbuchi Karbon Mito'ov Umitunov. You bring for me karbonos that are filthy dirty. The Amaritim, and you reply, V'imtoimu B'dvar Mo Onu Misavim Umenachim Karbonecha. Really? Prove it, Hashem. Where, what's wrong with our karbonos? Ben Morchem, Ritzon Eloimar, Oshiv Lechem, I'll reply to you, B'mesh Atem Oimim Shulchan Hashem, this that you say the word Shulchan Hashem, the Hu HaMizbeach Shemisadrim Olav HaKarbon HaKarbon HaKoyev L'Gavara Hu Nivzeh. It is disgraceful. Ki Nizrug Olav HaDom V'Niktor Olav HaKhilev Shenafshe Shal Odom Kok Sebohem. It is disgraceful. For the Shulchan is disgraceful. The Shulchan over here refers to the Mizbeach Hu Nivzeh. It is, you say, what do you say about it? You say that it's Nivzeh. Ki Nizrok Olav HaDom, you pour upon blood, V'Niktor Olav HaKhilev, and you offer, you burn upon it the fats, Shenafshay Shal Odom Kotze Bohem. Now let's review the English over. Let's go back and read the Pesukim. A lot of you are going on the Pesukim, it's a little bit vague. It's vague. Let's just read it one more time. Pasuk in one part in time and sign. Pasuk va ben yachabidov vevet adoinov. First, Hashem starts by laying out the foundation. There's a rule in this world. There's a reality in this world that a child gives honor to his father and his servant gives honor to his master. And for different reasons. A child gives honor to his father as a form of reciprocation. A father loves his child. Father does chesed with his child. And therefore, it's just natural feeling of reciprocation a child has to his father. That's how the Mitzudas Tavit explains. Ve'eved al doinav. That's different. A servant gives respect and fears his master. Not because there's a mutual love. Not necessarily. Sometimes the master has no good feeling for his servant, but the servant knows what to do, what's good for him. If he does not show his master respect, the master will beat him. The master will sell him to another master. He will suffer the consequences. Okay? So that's the foundation. We have a reality in this world where a child has respect for his father and a servant has respect for his master for different reasons. So Hashem says, Monavshach. Have respect for me. How do you view the relationship that we share? The im of oni, ayikivaydi, the im adonim oni. If I am your master, now notice here it says adonim b'loshon rabim. Okay, we have to see why it says here the word adonim b'loshon rabim. It should say over here, the im odoin oni. Why adonim? Why here is it b'loshon rabim? Father, it's only b'loshon yachid. Hashem is only one master, so we have to see what that means in a moment. But here, the Mitzvahs did not address that point. The Yim Adonim Oni, Ayei Moroi, where is my fear? Now, notice here, in the, when we describe a child, we say the word Bein Yichabed. When it comes to an Eved, it says the Eved Adonov. Now, the style of this pasuk, if not otherwise known, would say that the word Yichabed is to be repeated twice, as we do many, many times. We repeat, Bein, it's as if the pasuk says Bein Yichabed of, and the Eved Yichabed Adoinav. Then, when it goes into the second phase of the pasuk, the Im Avoni Ayei Kivoydi, where's my honor? That's a perfect match. The Im Adoinim Oni Ayei Moroi. Excuse me, whoever mentioned the principle of fear? We're only describing it the principle of Kavoid. If you want to say Moira, so we'd say Bein Yechabedov, the Eved Yiro Adonav. And the fact that we did not make any mention of the word Moira in the Eved V'Adonav, so the assumption is we are describing Kovoid, honor, as that's the style of the how we read Pesukim in the Vim Achrayim. Bein Yechabedov, it says V'Ev Yechabed Adonav, V'Im Ov Oni Ayei Kivoydi, V'Im Adonim Oni Ayei Kivoydi. But suddenly there's a shift. And there is an insertion of Moira, which has to be discussed. Next. Amar Hashem Tzvaka. It's now. Period. Now, it appears, according to the Mitzvot David, that when it starts with the word Amar Hashem Tzvaka, it's almost like a new pasuk. It's a new sentence, a new expression. That's how he seems to be breaking it up. And let's not focus on the Tamei HaMikra, because the Tamei HaMikra would seem to indicate that the four words go together, the five words go together. Ayei Moroi Amar Hashem Tzvaka. But according to the Mitzvah stuff, it does not seem that he's understanding it in this way. It seems that he's starting out a new pasuk. Omar Hashem Tzvokois Lochem HaKoyhanim. Hashem Tzvokois makes a statement to the Koyhanim. You Kohanim are Bozei Shmi. And again, the Tamei HaMikra does not really flow well here, because according to Tamei HaMikra, the word HaKoyhanim and Bozei Hashmi are one expression. And it would appear over here is that HaKoyanim is part of, is to whom Hashem is addressing his statement. Hashem is speaking to the Kohanim, period. Now, next expression. What does Hashem say to the Kohanim? And the answer is, Boizei Shemi. You Kohanim are evil people. You are despising, you are disgracing my name. The Boizei Shemi, it's not a modifier of Kohanim. The Kohanim is the one to whom Hashem is speaking. Look at the Mitzvah, just to clarify that point. Go to the Mitzvah David. Mitzvah David, Lochem HaKohanim. Lochem, Ritzoin Elohimar, Hadover Hazeh, Oimer Ani Hashem Lochem, Atem HaKohanim. Hamavazim Esh. So, okay, maybe I take it back. It's all really the same. HaKohanim, Hashem is saying to the Kohanim, the word Boizei Shemi on the one hand is a modifier of the word HaKohanim. And on the other hand, it's really what Hashem is saying to the Kohanim. Hashem is saying to the Kohanim, you Kohanim, you're all a bunch of good for nothings. You are all people who disgraced my name. Your behavior is unacceptable. You are the leaders. You are the role models. You have been given a charge, given authority, given a responsibility. And your behavior is unbefitting for who you are in your position. And therefore, you are in a lot of trouble.
Is Malachi talking of his day?
No, he's talking to the leaders of this generation. The fact that we're reading this, our generation,
our
2021, what's today's date? July, what's today? July 9th today?
Yeah,
July, speaking to the people today who are in charge of Klal Yisrael, who make decisions that affect our lives. And he's saying to them that the leaders of the generation are the Kohanim. Kohanim doesn't just mean the priest who serves the Beis HaMikdash. It means a person who has authority. A person who has authority to lead, to teach over Klal Yisrael. And he's calling them Boizei Shemi. You have disgraced my name. Your behavior is unacceptable. Everything we have in Navi is for us. There were 1,200,000 prophets who gave over very powerful words of prophecy, and their words were not preserved. Why? It's not relevant for us today. Whatever we have left today in the Sifrei Nevi'im is here for a reason, because he's speaking directly to the posterity. He's speaking to us. Then, how do they respond, all of the leaders today? What are you talking about? You're going to go write an article about me? You're going to write an editorial in some Jewish newspaper? Maybe not in a Jewish newspaper, because that would be censored. You know, let's be honest. In the media, they talk about fake news, and they talk about controlling the narrative and censorship and cancel culture. You know who are the experts in this? The frum people. Get into trouble for saying that. Okay? The frum people are the real experts in censoring letters to the editor and censoring books. Critics and books. And canceling people, banning people, and ruining people's lives. If you fall out of line with the Haredi police, you're done. You're done. And it's just as bad. It's even worse than what goes on in the secular news. The secular. At least now Trump is making a lawsuit, class action suit against Google, Twitter, and Chol Hanilvim Olav. You can't do that in the firm world. In the firm world, if you have a legitimate complaint and you want and it's not popular what you want to say, there's nothing. You are silenced. Okay?
Well,
it's a terrible thing. What?
Yeah, a bit more open.
We do? I'm not so sure.
Open. Certainly not in Israel, but it's certainly correct.
In America, there's a certain approach and to the Haredi world. And they don't. And if there's the corruption, if there is discovered corruption or problems, you're out. It's an airtight society, and they're not subject to rebuke.
V'hamevin
yavin. Yeah.
Who are the Haredi police?
Who are the Haredi? They're all over the place. Hamevin yavin. Okay, it's interesting. I don't do this. I used to send in letters to the editor, and it's like, and I have no doubt in my mind, everything I wrote in my criticism, so this is a while ago, I was 100% right. And everyone I spoke to told me, you are 1,000%, not 100,000 right. And silence. I wouldn't even get a reply of acknowledgement that they even received my they published letters are total garbage, nonsense.
Nobody gets acknowledgement.
Why? It's just, listen, what you're saying over here is not popular, and it usually has to do with money. It's not usually, it always has to do with money. And you really that's it. There's nothing you can do. This is a very big problem. This is a very, very big problem. And Yeshaya, the Navi Malach over here, is coming to give Musar. He's speaking to our generation. There are people that it's a very big problem. There are no checks and balances in our society. Checks and balances is a very beautiful concept.
What exactly does it mean?
Mizbechi in today's generation, the Mizbechi means in the classroom. It means in the Beis Medrash. It means Chinuch. It means Rabbanus. We serve Hashem today, not in the Beis HaMikdash, by bringing animals and sacrificing them and bringing their blood. The Shulchan, it changes the word. Shulchan means, it means the way we live our lives.
Like public behavior?
Public behavior, the way we live our lives. Magishnal mizbechi, you kohanim, you offer, you bring near upon my mizbeach, which means upon my yeshivas, in my shuls, in my society, lechem migo'ol, a product that is disgusting.
Rabbi, I don't like disagreeing with
the Navi,
but I think many of Rabbanim and many of
Machanim. No, I don't mean it's a chasishol. They are not ruba de ruba. You know that I don't mean. I'm just talking about super magnification. When you get burnt, if someone gets burnt, most people don't get burnt. Most people, they glide through life. They don't get into trouble. Sometimes you have people who get burnt, and when they get burnt, you get very bitter, and you try to attack the whole system. That's not true. Most of the system is very, very good. There are very, very good, honest, hardworking, ethical, moral people. Talmidei Chacham, Yirei Shemayim, the real deal, the real deal. But there are also few and far in between. There are yechidim, there are individuals, and you know, and unfortunately, there's very little that is available that can be done in today's society for those yechidim. There is very little in the Goyish world. Look, it depends where you live. In America, you know, in America, there's a court system. Look. When people have a din Torah, there's a din Torah. Where do all dinei Torah end up? They don't end up in Beis Din. Anything that reaches a certain amount of money is not going to be settled in Beis Din. It's going to be settled in court. Right? Secular court. That's a Chil Hashem. If you have Orthodox Jews, and we have Batei Dinim, we have Batei Dinim, but Talmidei Chachamim, why is it that anything that comes to it when there's a significant amount of money, it's just a fact. Go look around. Any type of disagreement that involves a significant amount of money is not handled in the Beis Din. Beis Din is a small claims court. What's it called? What's it called?
Small claims court.
That's what Beis Din is. Yeah, but all over the place. When it comes to million-dollar disputes, it's in court. Look at all of the Hasidim, all of the major Hasidus. And this is a public. I'm not making up things. Look at all the major Hasidus. When the Rebbe dies, there's always a split, and there's always fighting over hundreds of millions of dollars. Did you ever hear these disputes being settled in a Beis Din? Never. Where do they go? They go to court. So it says, "Ve'elachan mishpatim asher tosim lifnehem v'lifnei arkois." It's usur. It is usur to go to court. Why? Because the system is just not. It's not.
It has no teeth. So they
what?
It doesn't have any teeth. A lot of them. Let's say, you know, they had to accept the you know, the Das Ben.
So why don't they accept? Why don't they accept? And also, it's not. I told you the main reason why they don't accept is because
says go to court.
You can't.
You can't deal with it.
Why? So why can't they deal with it? Why? They can deal with it.
They can. It's not within their.
The main reason is because there's no appeal. That's the main reason.
Right.
The main reason is because if you go to court and you lose in court, first of all, no Bezin cannot enforce anything. Maybe, you know, once the court, if there's a psak bezin, so the government can enforce it to a degree. But the main problem is, if you lose in court, what do? You file an appeal. If you lose in Beis Din, there's no appeal. It's over. Case closed. There's no such system of a court of appeals in Beis Din. It does not exist. Most people cannot handle that. They can't handle that. They cannot handle the fact that there's going to be closure. That if you lose the case, it's over. You want to be able to have the option of a court of appeals. It's interesting why no one has ever tackled that issue. Why the RCA and all the big, you know, the big Batei Din, they have a lot of clout. Why don't they, there's got to be a way to address? All right, but. Yeah. The words of the Nevi'im are for us today, and we are entitled. You can't go say that, oh, you're saying Lashon Hara. I'm not saying Lashon Hara. This is what Malachi says. Malachi says, you have to take a very hard look into yourself. Over here, he's speaking to our generation. Malachi is speaking to all leaders of every generation. We're not talking about the Hamoinam. We're talking about Yechidim. We're talking about small little things here and there. The people, there are problems. There are all different types of problems. And we need rachamei shemayim. And over here he says, Maki Jamal Mizbuch Lechem Elohim. Over here he's criticizing the Kohanim. The Kohanim in our generation represent the clay kodesh. You bring upon my mizbeach, which means you're providing a service. The Klal Yisrael that's called lechem bread migo'ol. That is disgusting. That is detestable. Vamartem. And when these people are criticized, they respond, what are you talking about? Bame ge'al nucha. How have we disgraced you? Be'emorchem. Now here comes the hard part. Be'emorchem, when you say, Shulchan Hashem nivzehu. So let's go back to the Mitzugah David. The Mitzugah David, let me put this on mute over here. The Mitzvah David says, let's read how he learns these words over here. V'amart v'im toimru b'dvar mo'anu b'vazim eshemecha. What are you saying, Hashem? How could you say that? B'megi al nucha. So then the Pasuk includes, Pasuk Zayin, magishim ritzon lema oshev lochem. B'dover zatem b'vazim eshemi. B'ma sh'atem makrim al mizbechi karban mitu'ov mitunof. You bring on my table a carbon that is disgusting. You are saying, Klal Yisrael, that the Shulchan Hashem is disgusting. Now, that's very hard. What does that mean exactly? Where do you see that? Where do you see
it? The Shulchan Hashem.
Yeah, but those items
you don't hear,
put on the Mizbeach. That's normal procedure.
Right, so it's see what. Okay, so let's try to figure this out.
That we don't,
let's try to be creative here, and obviously we're talking over here about a fraction of 1%, but there's definitely truth to this. There are people who, when they're young, they start out and they choose a life of avodas Hashem. They deliberately decide not to pursue a career where maybe they would make a lot of money. No guarantee anyone will make any money, whatever they do. But they choose to go into a parnasa where there's not much money to be made, correct? There's not much money to be made, but it's a satisfaction in in connecting to Hashem, a world of spirituality. And then they're frustrated. Comes a point in time they're frustrated, and they act out, and they say that this is the worst job you can possibly have. You never heard a rabbi say, the worst job you can possibly have is being a rabbi. No offense.
Okay.
No,
that's why I didn't do it the later life.
No, they say the rabbi, it's not a profession for a nice Jewish boy to be a rabbi. Ever heard that expression? It's not a profession for a nice Jewish boy. And when they go into chinuch, they lose their job today. A lot of rabbis are being fired. Today, a rabbi, once you're age 50 years old, out. A lot of yeshivas firing. Why? Because they have to compete with all, there's a lot of competition. It's a big business. Yeshiva is a big business. And the other yeshiva has young, fresh rebbeim, 25 years old, and they're energetic, and they'll take the boys to a baseball game, and they'll sing with them and dance with them, and they'll take them skiing, and they'll take them on trips. They're young and fresh.
Exactly.
The rebbe in the other yeshiva, he's already 60 years old. He doesn't have the koyach to go camping with them and put on some shorts and run with them in the sweltering heat. He doesn't have that koyach.
I wasn't so, quite 50, and I thought maybe I would just stop and be a Rebbe when I thought maybe I was in between, and I said, you know what, maybe. And I was talking to one rat, you know, somebody from Yeshiva, he said, you're too old already.
So there's a frustration. And it's not, it's tough, it's true, it's not fair. It's not fair. You can't just go just dump someone like that. So what do the Rebbeim say? They say, this job stinks. This whole lifestyle, this whole system, the system stinks. They say, Shulchan Hashem, the table of Hashem, the profession of Rabbanis, of Chinuch, of being a Klei Kodesh, Nivzehu, it's horrible. Horrible. I don't want this for my children. I have charot. I ever did this my whole life. Unfortunately, there are people. There is a frustration. Unfortunately, there is such a thing in this world. Yeah, over here. Look at the pasuk. Magid shemal mizmir lechem magal. And what happens? And what happens is that these rebbeim, it comes out in their service because they are not happy in their job when they teach their talmidim a. A frustration comes out in their service,
right.
So it's good for no one. There, so go back to Pasuk Zayin. Magishim al mizbuchi lechem migo'ol. You kohanim, you people who are oisek in avodas Hashem, you are serving me in a disgusting way. You come late to your job, you leave early, you cut corners. The job becomes all about money. There's some rabbis, the whole thing, it's all about money. How much, if I'm not getting a raise, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to repeat the drush that I said last year, word for word. It becomes just a game with the balabata. You're not nice to me, I'm not going to be nice to you. It's tit for tat. The whole rabbanus, instead of becoming a position of nobility, it becomes, how much are you paying me? You're not giving me this, not giving that. So you know what? I'm going to take revenge against you. It becomes a profession. You're serving a product on my table, bread that is disgusting. And when Hashem says to these people, "What are you doing?" They say, "We did nothing wrong. We're entitled." The guy, all my balabatim, they're making sick. They're making hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're getting bonuses. They're lawyers and they're doctors. They're raking it in. And me, they don't even want to pay. They don't even want to pay $30,000 my salary. So that's right. Let me do them in.
I'm trying to understand. Here is the Navi Malachi standing up and speaking to a big audience.
He's speaking to us.
But he's not. Where he is then, but the people are recognizing. He's not really talking about us. He's not really talking to us.
You notice like these rabbis. They get up and they say, "Rabbi Yisai, I want to give Musar." But who am I? Who am I to give mussar to all of you people? Who I'm a nobody. So I'm talking to myself. If you want to over-listen, you want to eavesdrop. You ever hear that? I hear it all the time. Rabbi gets
That's
up at the podium.
The people in the other are saying, "You're right, Rabbi. You got nothing to say."
They get up. I'm not talking to you here. I'm like 1,000 people. Who am I to give mussar to all you people? I'm talking to myself. So sometimes a rabbi gets a rabbi say, I want to give Musa, and you know what? I want to give Musa to all of you people here. I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to you in the audience. All of you people, you all a bunch of Rishoyim and lowlifes and wicked people. I'm giving you Musa.
Right.
Okay, that doesn't happen today. That doesn't, but Malachi, that's what he did, Malachi.
That's why the Bar Benel says it starts off with the word Masa, because it was so, because nobody listened to him and they hated what he had to say. So
it was a burden. It became a burden.
Talking to them, like, come on.
So they understood he was talking yeah.
To them. He's talking to them, and he's talking to us, and his words over here are very sharp. No one learns this stuff. Malchut and Malachi, this stuff is poison for us to hear. But when we, but the Klal Yisrael, the whole Klal Yisrael is in the category of a Kohen. Okay, the whole Klal Yisrael is in the category, exactly, a Mamleches Kohanim.
He's not talking to his peers.
He's talking to everyone. He's talking to the people in his generation. He's talking to the people in every generation since he's spoken. He's been talking to us as well. And every generation, you have to redefine what it means, Kohanim. Kalman said the word Kohanim refers to the whole Klal Yisrael. We are all called Kohanim. We're called the Mamleches Kohanim.
To the people of his generation also.
Of course, also. Everyone. He's not. He doesn't. He's not a racist. He doesn't discriminate. Everyone is included in this category. Everyone. The whole. His generation. Our generation. All the generations in between. Now, if you want to speak in general terms, the word Kohanim is a term which means everyone. If you want to be more specific, so today, who are the Kohanim of our generation? Well, the people who go and get the first Aliyah. That's not a Kohen in our generation. Okay, it's a Kohen. Fine. Technically, it's a Kohen. He does Yiduchins. And you give him the Aliyah, but in today's generation, whenever you study Tanakh and you come to the word Kohanim, it means what they call today Klei Kodesh. What's a Klei Kodesh? A Rebbe, a Rav, a leadership, Jewish leadership. People that are involved in Jewish leadership, in being a Rebbe, whether it's an elementary school Rebbe, whether it's a high school Rebbe, whether it's a Rosh Shiva, whether it's a Rav of a Shul, whether it's a leader of a Kiva organization, a Kashrus organization, involved in anything that has to do with Judaism in a leadership position. These are called Kohanim. And the role is, if you want to be, now, the facts are, being in a position of Kahuna, there's no money in Kahuna in today. So a Rebbe makes, the salary of a Rebbe is pathetic. Even though people will say it's not so bad, they get benefits, they don't have to pay taxes, and they don't have to do this, they have to do that. And everything's said and done, it's not very pleasant. It's not very pleasant. And when you're subject, you know, to the goodwill of your balabatim, like, I'll give you an example, in the fundraising. You never ever should do fundraising from people that you know. If you're involved in fundraising, you should stay a million miles away from asking money from people who are in your shul, you dive. Let's say you work from some organization, you're raising money for all different important causes, and you have in your daven shachris, the millionaire sitting over here, and you go in Shabbos, there's a billionaire over there, and these are your people who in your chevra. It is a curse. It is a mamish, a curse to ask these people for even one dime. Because then your whole relationship with your inner circle is all about money. That's a curse. You have to separate fundraising from your personal life, which includes your siddiva. In your little world, you daven here, you daven in this, you're part of this community, and today we live in very complex communities. You have a shul for the weekday, a shul for Shabbos, a shul for Mitzvah Shabbos, where you go during the week. Okay, so expand your little world to your people. Now you work for an organization, you have to go raise $10 million. That's your job. You don't call up your local people, because every time you'll see them on Shabbos, what are they going to think about you? Oh, this guy's a schnorrer. He just wants money. Every time you see him, how much can I squeeze out of him? It's a mamish, a curse. A curse. You raise money from people that you don't know from Adam. Okay, maybe you develop a relationship, but the relationship is purely a relationship, a professional relationship outside of your personal life. People who are involved in chinuch, unfortunately, their parnasa comes from the people that they deal with the whole time. And that's very unpleasant. Person has a job, regular level, your computer program, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer. To a very large degree, you're able to separate your parnasa from your personal life. Okay, you go into your office, you deal with your patients, and you go home. A lot of the best doctors, you go to a dentist. The dentist, he has his office in Flatbush. Where does he live? He lives in the five towns. He has nothing to do. The patients that he works on are from Flatbush. He never sees them. That's a bracha. It's a bracha. You have to become to deal your parnasa with people that you deal with on a personal level is a horrible, horrible thing. In chinuch, it's not the way it goes, because chinuch, your parnasa is intertwined with the people that you are serving, that you are basically living with most of the time, and that's a very painful reality, and that leads to a lot of problems, and it leads to a lot of frustration. And then when the frustration becomes the ikar and the job, your service becomes the tafel, it ruins your noble profession. The only reason why you're in this profession is because you wanted to have kirvas elokim and do Hashem's service. But then, unfortunately, it's a way of life. It there's a lot of problems. And when that happens, the product that you serve is a damaged product. It's called the lechem megoal. When you teach the Talmidim Torah, the Torah you're teaching them is damaged. There's a bitterness that's coming out in that lechem. If you're a rabbi of a community and you don't get along with the Balabatim and you're giving them a drasha and you're very angry at the Balabatim, the drasha you're giving them, you're cursing them out of the drasha. That's called lechem megaol. And then when the person is, the rabbi or the teacher is confronted, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? So they'll say, well, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything. So Hashem says back, Hashem replies, you are doing something wrong, because be'emorchem, the reason why you're serving a product, the lechem is migal, is because the job is nivzehu. See, the shulchan, if the shulchan, is very deep what the mitzvah is saying, if the shulchan is nivzeh, then the lechem is migal. Your service is called lechem migal. Your profession is called the shulchan. Shulchan here means the mizbeach. It's the mizbeach. This is my parnas. This is my profession. I bring korbanos on this mizbeach. That my profession is the shulchan. What do I do in my profession? I bring lechem. If in my eyes, behind everyone's back, I come to my wife and I say that this parnas is the worst thing you could ever do, chas v'shalom, to let our children become rabbanim, to become an endor, chas v'shalom, you basically said that the shulchan Hashem is nivzehu. It's a despicable, it's a disgraceful profession.
So it's like you're bringing pigol and caleb on the mizbeach.
So if you view your parnasa, your occupation, to be nivzehu, it's only natural that the bread, the lechem, that you will bring upon this shulchan will be in the category of migo'ol. So you ask a person deep down inside, tell me, are you happy that you are a klei kodesh? Are you happy that you are a kohen? And a kohen means a person that is a teacher, someone who is teaching children, Jewish children. Are you happy with this profession? And if the person says, the truth be told, I don't like this profession. I wish I could have been a plumber. I wish I could have been a doctor. The profession that I'm in is a shulchan Hashem nivzehu. Know what that means? But even though I have charata, it's nivzeh, but I do my job be'emuna shalema. When I go into the classroom, I teach the kinderlach, I teach them be'emuna shalema. I provide them with lechem cham, fresh, delicious bread. Impossible. Hashem over here is coming to bust that notion. Hashem here is saying to Klal Yisrael, if you can say quietly behind the scenes that Hashem's shulchan is nivzehu, it's automatic. It is impossible to hide and deny the fact that the lechem that you're serving is lechem migo'ol.
But we're talking about yechidim now.
Yechidim. Yechidim.
Very many Rabbanim and Mechanchim and Rebbe's are very happy and pleased.
The ones that are independently wealthy are very... The ones that are independently wealthy are happy. Right. The ones that are subject to the will, to the rabbi renewing his contract, they're not so. They're not all happy campers.
That's why I mentioned.
There's a honeymoon period.
Rishonim and a lot of Achronim who were very successful that wrote all these scores, they were independently wealthy. The ones that need rely on their job for Parnassa had very rough lives.
There are many stories of children of Balabatha that will say, will say to, like, the rabbi has, you know, I once went to rabbi school, the National Council of Young Israel. It's amazing. I always come back to these classes. They were just astonishing. The revelations that I learned in this school many, 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 many years ago. When I once upon a time had a make-believe dream, I'll be a rabbi one day. In my fantasy life, I'll be a rabbi one day. So the National Council of Young Israel, spearheaded by our very own Michal Miller, right over here, the controller. The controller. You go where the money is. Where is the money? Why do you rob the bank? Why did the bank robber rob the bank? That's where the money is. The controller, Michal was the controller of the National Council of Young Israel. That's where the money is. So they offered a program. They offered it for many, many years, and it was basically a program in the practical side of rabbinics. In those days, Yeshiva University was not really doing very much in this realm. They were doing nothing. They were just sitting back and doing that. They had a very good smicha. They had a smicha program, but they were asleep at the switch. Okay. Subsequently, they vastly, vastly upgraded their smicha program enormously with a major overhaul in these type of courses of practical rabbinics. So, but in those days, this was really a program, one of a kind. It was all by the National Council of Young Israel, and they brought in every other week two rabbanim who were acknowledged, hands down, as being major experts in their field, like Rabbi Zon. Rabbi Zon is the...
Rabbi Hammer.
Rabbi Hammer, he was the... Rabbi Pesach Lerner was very involved in this.
But
Hamel is also. So like, let's say Rabbi Zon. There's no bigger authority in death than in the practical side of death than Rabbi. He's like, there's no one bigger than him. So he came in for how long did he spend? At least 2 hours. Everyone was at least 2 hours, maybe even more. Something 2.5 hours. Can you imagine? Very, very long lectures. It's like giving over everything that they know, the practical side in their particular field. Then you'll ask, what? No, there were no exams. You had to write a paper. You had to write a paper, like a master's paper. Okay, you had to write a paper, and there were no exams. You just had to show up, and that's it. You know, that was it. It was just, you know, they gave you a certificate. Well, the certificate, it wasn't, what's the certificate really worth? Big, I have a certificate, big deal, who really cares? You have a certificate, you went to all the classes, the shoes really care. It was more the fact that I'm able to tell you over all these bits and pieces goes to, that's what the real value of this list. So let's say you had homiletics. So who was then the big, big macher in homiletics? Rabbi Pelkowitz, Zechet Tzadik Levrach, from the White Shul. You know Rabbi Eitan Feiner? Rabbi Eitan Feiner took over Rabbi Pelkowitz. So Rabbi Pelkowitz used to be the Rav. Back in this probably goes back 50 years ago. The White Shul used to be like ashamed of him. The White Shul basically fell apart to nothing, to mamish nothing, until Rabbi Feiner came along. And then he totally revamped it, he restored it to Machzor HaTorah LeYoshna. But back in the day, Rabbi Pelkowitz, it was his shul, and it was before my time. It was an Ein V'ir B'Yisrael, and he was a reputation as being a master darshan. So he came, and he was such a gentle person. I remember it was very he passed away not that long ago. He passed away, and he was then, when he came to speak, he was an elderly man, and that was a long time ago. And like, you know, it was very, very interesting, the things that he said. He has a lot of experience. And then you'll have they'll bring in, maybe even here, Benjamin Hammer or someone like that, they would bring in someone to teach you about what a rabbi should do for his pension. All of the legal to protect you financially, pension and your life insurance and health insurance, and all of the different issues that you need to be aware of if you make Rabbanis a career. Okay, dealing with contracts, like there's a lot of practical things that you have to, all the very legal issues that you have to really, most people have no clue. They don't really understand what that's nature itself. And then you bring in like the Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn. Okay, Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn, he's probably one of the biggest experts in Hilchos Shabbos. He wrote the books. He wrote all the books for art school in Hilchos Shabbos. He's a world-renowned expert, a world-renowned posek in Hilchos Shabbos. Rabbanim, that's what they get the whole day. Shilas Hilchos Shabbos. Amir Yakum, can I do this? Can I do that? So he came in and he gave the practical side as a rav. All the common shilas chil Shabbos. Your Bala bus calls you. I'm on the road. It's Friday afternoon. I'm not going to make it for Shabbos. What should I do? Oh, your wife is giving birth. Like all the basic, you know, the basic things, and go on and on forever. Okay, and all the different. And all the Rabbanim, you know, one thing is common to every single one of the speakers. They spoke for over 2 hours. So they get up there, and they're talking to these kids like us, you know, they're telling them who want to be Rabbanim, and they start talking, and they're very professional, and their tie is all the way to the top, and their buttons is closed, you know. They're all very proper. They're talking to, giving it a share. By the time they were about 45 minutes through their talk, and they spoke for almost 2 hours, they opened up the top button, they loosened their tie, they got all hot under the collar, and all of their frustrations, all of their anger, their frustrations of how much they hate their Baal HaBatim, it all came out. It all came out, and it was really fascinating to watch how these professionals, when they talk about their profession, they're not servicing their Baal HaBatim. They're telling you about, this is my life. And it was remarkable. Eich naflu giboirim.
He spoke about Shilas he had during the week, and that was his Sunday lecture. Was he handed out sheets on all the Talmud Prata of the Shilas?
The very common Shilas.
He finally got to the point where one time about getting, like you said, traveling, can I go? Getting late to Lakewood or something like that. He said, I'm telling you now, we're not talking about this anymore. If you come late, you're a poshea. That means you just didn't leave. I don't care how much stuff you got. You didn't leave early enough.
Okay, but it happens. Okay,
but
these are, so it's amazing how they all, you see, there's no, ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh toy v'lo yachetoy. Okay, and it's not just rabbi, you doctors are any better. I have in my family some doctors. The frustration is unreal. I mean, I don't have to tell you, there's no such thing as an easy parnasa. The highest rate, I studied for computers. It's a well-known fact, the highest rate of suicides in this country are computer programmers. Okay? Computer programmers, that's the highest rate of suicide. People, they become, it's a certain type of profession where, you know, it demands perfection. When you program, if you have a comma instead of a period, you finish the whole thing, it demands perfection, and there's a certain obsession. You get pulled in, and it can destroy the humanity of a person, and it does. The highest rate of suicide, you know, I don't know if today computers have changed quite a bit. The whole industry has changed enormously. But when I was studying computers, it was basically programming, boring programming. Okay, there was a little bit visual elements to it as well. The internet was first starting up then. Programming, and like, you get really pulled in. Every profession has its issues. Rabbanus is a beast. It's a world to itself because you're doing Hashem's work. You're doing Hashem's work, and you're dealing with the most difficult creatures in the world, Jews. You're dealing with Baal HaBatim, Balabatim are impossible. it's a very difficult, frustrating profession. On the one hand, it gives a person the most enormous satisfaction. But mitzat sheni, it can be very frustrating. And unfortunately, not everyone is able to handle the nisoyon. And this is exactly what he's saying over here. He's saying of some very, very deep. He's discussing yichidim. Okay, we're not chas v'sholem in lekatrik on klal yisrael of amech kulam tzadikim. But there are people, there are some rotten apples out there. That's the way life goes. That's the way it is. We live in Golis. Not everything is perfect. And then Malachi over here is coming to criticize the Kohanim. And he's speaking to our generation. And he's discussing over here two different principles. He's discussing the Shulchan Hashem, which the Kohanim say is disgusting. Nivzehu. It's despicable. And the criticism that Hashem says, how do you bring on this Shulchan Hashem, lechem migol, disgusting bread? And the Kohanim are in denial of both. What do you mean, Hashem? We don't bring disgusting bread. And we never said that the Shulchan is despicable. Not true. Not true. You go home, and the day is over, and they pay you late. You don't get your paycheck on time, and you can't pay your bills, and you're frustrated, and they don't treat you well. And here you're doing Hashem's holy work, and you walk home, and you say, you know something? This job, nivzehu, this is not a job for a nice Jewish boy. You may not say it b'peh mole, but in your heart, there could chas v'sholem be a tinge of frustration of your profession, where you say, Shulchan Hashem nivzehu. And if you feel that frustration that the Shulchan Hashem is nivzehu, then you know what happens? You don't even realize it. The product that you're serving is lechem migo'ol. It comes out in the chinuch, in the way you perform in your service, in your drashos, in your shiurim, in how you deal with talmidim. It comes out that you're serving them poison bread. Lechem migo'ol. And it all starts when you don't appreciate what you're doing. Rabbi Palmer was used to say, if you don't love children, talking to elementary school rabbeim, the rabbeim of Yeshiva Ketana, if you don't have an authentic love for Yiddish Kinderlach, then don't be a rebbe. Don't, who's asking you? Don't come into the classroom and go and sit down and teach children if you don't love Yiddish Kinderlach to teach them Taras Hashem. If you don't love every profession, they say it's. Every profession, if you don't love programming, don't be. I mean, this is a cliche. If you don't love what you do, but what is the reality? The reality is no one likes what they do. Let's be honest. Do you know anyone who will tell you, I love my job? You're living in Gan Eden. If you're going to find a person that will tell you that they love their job, then you know that you're in Gan Eden. It's not a reality. Everyone is frustrated. That's the reality. Everyone has. Very few in farming will tell you that they love their job. Those people usually, they're working for free, they're volunteers, they're independently wealthy. They're going to tell you they love what they do. It's extreme, that's the way life is.
That's
life. But you have to make a parnasa, this is the world of reality. But when it comes to chinuch habonim, when it comes to being a klei kodesh, when you're involved in Hashem's holy work, then you have to love what you do. Because if you don't love what you do, in essence, you are making a declaration, Shulchan Hashem Nivzehu. And then the product that you're serving, your Talmidim and your Balabatim and your constituents are the Lechem Migo'ol. This is the Musar of Malachi. This is the Malachi. Let's read something more time, then we'll stop. The Pesukim over here, Bein Yichabira Vevin Adoina Vim Avni Ayichavoydi Vim Adoinim Oni Ayei Moiroi Om Hashem Tzivokos. Hashem, now Omar Hashem Tzivokos, Lochem HaKoyhanim Boizei Shemi, Hashem says to the Koyhanim, Koyhanim, Klei Kodesh. Now again, we're talking to Yechidim Shem Yechidim, not talking about the whole Klal, you're talking about to Yechidim, Boizei Shemi. Unfortunately, you're not living up to my expectations, you are disgracing my name. So the Koyhanim respond, what? What are you talking about? We're bringing a disgrace upon you. V'amartem, you, the Kohanim, will reply back to Hashem. B'mevuzinu Hashemecha. What are you talking about? We're servants of you, Hashem. We come, we teach, we learn, we serve you be'amuna shalema. So Hashem says back to the Kohanim, He says back, no, I'm telling you, because magishim al mizbichi lechem migaol. The product that you're serving, the service, whether you're teaching, whether you're answering questions, whether you're giving drushas, whether you're in charge of an askon for some type of Jewish organization, the product that you're offering me is lechem migaol, is bread, detestable bread. And the Kohanim say, what? How could you say that, Hashem? Va'amartem, what are you saying, Hashem? Ba'me ge'alnucha, how have we provided a service that's disgusting? So Hashem says back to them, because you hate your job. You hate your job. You're not satisfied with your job. You detest your job. Let's be realistic. The answer is, when you say, Shulchan Hashem Nivzehu, that the table upon which we put the bread, which means the profession, the institution, our home base of what we're doing, it's Nivzehu. It's a despicable, it's a disgraceful profession. We're abused, we're not treated well, we're underpaid, and it's not satisfying. We don't have a choice. We're no different than doctors and plumbers and electricians and programmers. They also don't like what they do. No one likes what they do. You know, everyone feels they're abused, and you gotta make a parnasa, so you make a parnasa. So this is my parnasa, this is my parnasa. But am I happy with my parnasa? Join the club. I don't know one, maybe you people know. I don't know one person will tell me they like what they do. I'm thinking about all the people that I know, my family. But I think about people in my family, thinking about people that I know from yeshiva, and from my yeshiva, the people I die with on Shabbos. Some of them are very wealthy. Some of them struggle. Some of them, you know, most of them, this is the parnasa. It is what it is. It is what it is. I have a family. I have to make a parnasa. No, so they complain. They switch jobs. They get a better job than this job and that job. They work for this firm, that firm. I know I have some friends who work for a big firm, make a lot of money. He couldn't take it anymore. It was just avoid as perach. So he took a big pay cut and he works for someone local. He works here with someone local because it was just overwhelming. The whole spiel. That's life. Listen, no. This is life. So no, you're in chinuch. You're in the world of chinuch. You're teaching children. You're a rav. So no, they're not nice to me. They're nasty to me. They don't pay me. They don't do this. They don't do that. They insult me. And no one wants to do this. No one wants to do that. Listen, it brings in a check. I pay the bills. I don't have a choice. No, Hashem says if you're in this profession, you have to hold yourself to a higher standard. If you chose to be a Rav, you chose to be a Mechanech, you chose to be Oisik and Tzarchi Tzibor, you have to love it. You have to love it. You have to view the Shulchan Hashem to be not Nivze, something that's Mechubad. And when you enjoy what you do, when you do a L'Shem Shemayim, then the Lechem that you preserve on this Shulchan will be delicious, fresh bread. It's not going to be lechem migo'ol. It's powerful stuff. No? He's speaking to us. Who else is he speaking to?
But the majority we're agreeing are not in this category.
I hope so. I sure hope so. I can't speak for anyone. I hope
that's
so.
A good shot.
Years ago, it wasn't years ago, you hear all these stories where the Rebbeim went on strike for weeks and months, and frustration was at its peak. There are some very, very frustrating. I know a story. I'll tell you a story, where I know there was a certain group, yeshiva, and they were very, very distinguished, talmidei chachamim who served in this yeshiva, and one day and when they would give out the checks, so they would basically let it be known that today's payday. And all of the rabbis would come into the office. They would come into the office, and the CEO of the yeshiva, whatever that means, whoever's in charge, he would come in with all the checks, envelopes, and he would call out the rabbis by their last name, and flip them the envelope. And you'd be lucky if the check is only really half of what you really deserve, and you'd be very lucky if the check doesn't bounce, right? And he would call them by their last name, like they're like cockroaches. Okay, the person in charge, he's a balabas, and you're dealing here with Choshuva Talmidei Chacham, the real deal. Okay, so there was one Rebbe there who was very, very distinguished, and it was payday. He didn't go into the office for the roundup. He didn't go to get his check. So when they gave all the checks, there was one check left. So they sent a message, Rabbi so-and-so, you don't need a check? You didn't show up? You don't need a check? How come you didn't come? So this person said to him, I don't remember the exact all the deeds, said to him, basically, it is such a disgrace the way you pay the rebbein. It's bad enough that you don't pay anyone who they deserve. You pay late and this and that and no benefits. You have to add insult to injury to be mevaze, the way you give out the money. You have to be mevaze everyone. Ad kedei kach. He made a macho by not taking. From that point on, they gave out the checks in a very dignified way. I don't know what they did. They didn't round everyone up and just throw everyone a check. From that time, either they mailed the check or they delivered the check in a. Okay, so that was years ago. Years ago, it was very, very bad. Today, I don't know what goes on. I don't know what goes on. L'chora today, it's a lot better. I learned in Chaim Berlin many years. Chaim Berlin, B'li'ayin Baruch Hashem. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to say, bad about Chaim, I want to say Chaim Berlin. They knew how to be mechabed the rebbein. There was a dignity. Okay, Chaim Berlin, I'm not listening. Everyone has their issues, but they there was a certain dignity that they gave to the rebbein. They should be paid on time. They should be paid with dignity. There was a certain dignity, which is a very beautiful thing. That other yeshivas, I went then to another yeshiva. After I was in Chaim, I went to another yeshiva. And that other yeshiva, they didn't come near to treating the rebbein with the dignity that they should deserve. They didn't have the money. It was a very poor yeshiva. They didn't nothing you could order. They don't have. But when this natural frustration affects your attitude towards your profession, it will automatically affect your performance. And when you're dealing with the future of Klal Yisrael, that's a churban. That's a churban. If you don't like your computer programmer and you become very frustrated and you want to write sloppy code and you don't want to comment the code for the next guy to know what you did exactly, or you want to sabotage the code, or you want to program a back door into the code where you can enter when no one's watching and do whatever you want to go do, good for you. It doesn't make a difference anyway, right? What's the difference anyway? What effect does it have on this world anyway? If you'll get caught, you'll go to jail. It's not going to make a big difference in the big picture. But when you're dealing with Klal Yisrael, it makes a big difference. And that's the Musar of Balachi to Klal Yisrael. To this teeny, teeny fraction of 1%. All right, I'll stop over here. We'll learn Chumash. We'll take a short break.